Hi, my name is Harold Horgan, CEO of the York Group. For more than 20 years, we've been working with technology companies to help them develop and implement their business strategies. One of the biggest challenges facing technology companies today is adapting their business model to cloud-based technologies being sold on a subscription basis. We have worked with thousands of companies worldwide, giving us a unique insight into the issues you have to deal with. Microsoft has asked me to share our experiences through this series of webinars. There are a total of 11 modules covering almost every aspect of the cloud business model, and combined, they are intended to give you the guidance you need to be successful in the cloud. In our previous webinar, I talked about why services partners should consider adding repeatable IP to their business model. In this module, I will give you a high-level overview of the organizational changes you will want to consider. As you look at your cloud strategy, you will need to make a fundamental decision. Is the cloud opportunistic or strategic? By opportunistic, I mean, do you simply want to have a cloud offering and have it available in case someone asks for it? Or is this a strategic move for you, either reorienting your business toward a cloud-based technology with subscription pricing or setting up a separate business group to focus on selling repeatable IP? The decision you make has significant implications for your business. If this is strategic for you, it will impact just about every aspect of your business, from product development to marketing, sales, and customer support. In this webinar, I will be following two tracks, opportunistic and strategic, to discuss how each element of this agenda would be impacted. Obviously, an opportunistic approach would represent a much lower threshold, and here I will focus on how you extend your existing business model to include the cloud. The impact of a strategic redirection will be much greater, and I will walk you through some of the more significant decisions and investments needed to truly succeed as a cloud-based technology company with a subscription business model. Don't worry, this is not going to be a technical deep dive into Azure as a development and delivery platform. First of all, product architecture is above my pay grade. Second, this webinar is designed for project services and managed services partners, so most of you will have a pretty good understanding of product development. And third, Microsoft does a really good job of explaining and helping with the technology side. I am more interested in the business side of the technology decisions that need to be made. So let's start with the opportunistic strategy. The assumption for all of these discussions is that you design and develop IP either for a client or to improve an internal process, and you want to know what the minimum level of investment would be to monetize that IP. Anything sold to third parties on a repeatable basis will require user documentation, including at least a user guide. If you're using the IP as a tool or framework around which you can build a project, you're not really selling IP, you're selling projects that are enabled by IP. You will also need a customer onboarding process that includes the payment process, license agreement, and support protocol. There is a separate webinar that covers customer support in detail, but I will include the highlights in the last segment of this module. There is an expectation that cloud technologies are updated on a regular basis. If you develop and sell a piece of on-premise software, it is not necessarily a requirement unless you're collecting a maintenance fee. With SaaS, however, updates are included in the subscription price, and if you do not intend to commit yourself to new versions or releases in the future, you will need to make this very clear in your license agreement. The impact on you if you really do want to become more of an IP or product company will be more significant. This is where I have to be careful and not get into an area that you understand much better than I do, but the overwhelming majority of SaaS vendors use agile development technologies. One of the reasons for this is the short upgrade cycles. And if you do see this as being strategic, you're likely to have a development roadmap with regular schedule of new releases as you build on the initial solution in order to expand your revenue base with new and existing clients. Building the product roadmap will require R&D initiatives. The first solution may have been built specifically for one client, but additional modules and functionality are likely to address a broader market, so understanding market needs and opportunities in order to prioritize the development efforts will require a more structured approach. Services delivery becomes an issue when selling repeatable IP. Again, if you're developing something for one client, the services delivery will be specific to that client, with the relevant customizations and integrations. Going to a broader market, both the solution and the implementation should be more productized, which needs to be factored into the product development. If you're developing something that is mission critical or integrated with a mission critical application, latency and uptime could be important issues, and the application may need to run in several data centers. This would need to be factored into how the solution is built. Finally, do you want your application to easily integrate with other third-party apps? And do you want other solutions to be able to integrate with yours? Do you want to have published APIs? How would you certify that other applications actually do work with yours? You will find plenty of webinars and support materials that go into detail on marketing, so this is intended to give you a high-level overview of what might be involved. If your IP business is opportunistic, you will be keeping your investment in marketing to a minimum. But in order to create and convert opportunities, there are some basic measures to take. First, a website, or at least a subsection of your existing website dedicated to the IP that you're marketing. It should be easy for someone to navigate to a landing page that describes the product, the value proposition, client testimonials, and so on. If you are pushing transactions through a marketplace or app store, include a link to where they can actually buy it. The more strategic your IP business becomes, the more you should consider a separate website that positions you as a product company rather than a services company that is selling some IP on the side. Another low-cost way to generate leads is through affiliate marketing. This includes industry-specific websites, bloggers, aggregator websites, and others, and there are thousands of them. The basic premise is that they create traffic for your website through links, and they get some small variable payment based on the activity. Marketplaces are starting to emerge as very efficient, low-cost marketing and transaction engines. Microsoft has an Azure-specific marketplace and an app store for Windows mobile solutions, and they can be a great way to outsource a headache of provisioning and billing for a solution. There are a lot of marketplaces, and the exact business model can vary, but there are typically three sources of revenue for them. Some marketplaces will charge a setup fee, especially if they have a narrow vertical focus, or they require integration work to get you set up. Sometimes there is a listing fee, a fee that is charged for each solution, not per company. And every marketplace charges a commission, which can cover some basic marketing, hosting the solution, provisioning, and billing. To really drive a strategic IP business requires a more significant investment in marketing. You can't sell anything in volume unless there is a consistent marketing program to create awareness and generate qualified leads. And this includes, but is not limited to, having a dedicated marketing resource, having a good understanding of the new approach to marketing for cloud solutions, and investing in marketing automation tools to drive down the cost of customer acquisitions. I will cover each of these at a high level and would encourage you to spend time going through the other marketing resources that Microsoft makes available to you. Marketing is an essential part of any business model that is expected to scale. The marketing person should be responsible for creating the value proposition, the compelling reason for someone to buy your solution. If your IP business is strategic, they should create distinctive branding for your solutions, which will give you a consistent image throughout your marketing. They will need to create your marketing campaigns and be responsible for the execution. While it is possible to bring in an outside agency to produce your marketing collateral, the marketing manager should have strong writing skills and communication skills. Depending on the geographic location and their experience, someone who combines all of these skills will have a compensation package in the range of $90,000 to $120,000. We just went through this hiring process for a client in New York using only job posting sites, and we received 60 resumes. Of these, 12 were good enough to follow up with, 7 went through telephone interviews, and 3 shortlisted candidates were invited in for final personal interviews. A good marketing person will pay for themselves many times over. The role of marketing has changed dramatically over the last 5 years or so. Marketing used to be more of a push campaign to generate interest and qualified leads that were then sent over to the sales side for follow-up. However, companies and individuals that are interested in cloud solutions, they tend to be much more self-service. They don't respond to traditional marketing. They are proactive and do their own research. Estimates are that more than 75% of cloud prospects do some level of research before they contact vendors, and more than half have shortlisted vendors before they even go to a vendor. That is why you will see the phrase buyer-centric marketing used in connection with the cloud. It is more than just the latest buzzword or fad. It represents a fundamental shift in the way business is being done. It is no longer a marketing and sales process. It is a process driven by the buyers, increasingly on their terms. So as you start thinking about your marketing, some of the areas to focus your research on include marketing automation, content marketing, and social media marketing. But as important as marketing is, someone still has to sell the solution, work with the client to match the benefits to the requirements, and close the deal. If this is opportunistic for you, then you want to limit the investment you're making in sales as well. Some of the lower cost options are marketplaces, which I've already discussed, OEM agreements, and inside sales. There are different names for the same business model, and it has been called OEM agreements, white labeling, and bundling. OEM stands for Original Equipment Manufacturer, and first started in the early days of the automotive industry. Car makers realized that it would be more efficient to have some of the parts made by other manufacturers rather than trying to do everything themselves. The PC business is built on the same model, but we also see it widely used in the software industry, but in reverse. It is usually smaller companies actively looking to partner with bigger companies. The solution can be fully integrated as part of someone else's product, or it can be marketed as a standalone module, usually under the OEM partner's brand. And if it works, it can be really profitable. So let's take a look at the pros and cons. One of the primary benefits is that it doesn't exclude you from sales through other channels, whether you want to sell direct or through resellers. Your OEM partner is typically selling it under their own brand to their existing customers, so there's little direct competition with other go-to-market strategies. OEM partners are usually responsible for their own sales and marketing, as well as the technical support, so the cost to you is quite limited. And when it works, it is because your partner is able to sell it to a lot of their existing clients, so sales can ramp up quite quickly. But there are some potential disadvantages. One is that you lose the value of developing your own brand. However, if this is opportunistic for you, it doesn't really matter. You just want the revenues, not the name recognition. There's always the fear of being reverse engineered. There have been many horror stories of a small company entering into a preliminary agreement, subject to a thorough assessment of the technology, and somehow, by complete coincidence, the prospective partner's product development group came up with very similar functionality. If you become a small component of someone else's solution and they make enough improvements around the combined solution, you could potentially lose the IP rights to your product. It is a concept called derivative technology, and because it is fairly uncommon, I'm just pointing it out as something to be aware of. Finally, if the relationship becomes hugely successful and you have one partner generating 90% plus of your product revenues, you don't have much leverage when it comes time to renegotiate the agreement. You could find yourself being really squeezed on the pricing. Overall, though, the benefits of a successful OEM agreement far outweigh the potential disadvantages. And finally, another low-cost sales strategy is to have an inside salesperson follow up with prospects or to answer inbound calls. To begin with, this does not have to be a dedicated resource, just as long as it is someone who understands the technology and has reasonably good people skills. Now, if you really want to grow a products business, the investment in sales becomes more substantial. In this section, I will touch on a number of topics, including hiring or designating a full-time salesperson, the importance of having the right compensation model to encourage the sales of subscription services, splitting sales roles into hunters and farmers, reducing the churn rate, and the increased role of marketing in the sales process. Many of you already have a salesperson or even a sales team that is responsible for selling project work. Can you get started by using the same person to sell your subscription-based IP? The short answer is yes, but it does come back to how strategic this new direction really is for you. The more strategic it is, the more likely it is that you would want a dedicated salesperson or at least change the compensation structure to make it more attractive for the salesperson to sell subscriptions. Good salespeople are driven by the compensation structure and are usually very focused on closing the deals that maximize their commissions. They aren't likely to get excited about collecting a commission based on $99 per user per month. Given the choice, salespeople will gravitate towards selling the solutions or the projects they know how to sell and pay them the most. If you do decide to use the same sales resources, there are adjustments you can make to the compensation structure that will influence their behavior. You can set separate quotas. If they are selling your traditional solutions or projects in addition to the new cloud offering, set a specific quota or target for the cloud solution. You can take this a step further by adjusting the commissions so that they get a reduced commission on the traditional services until they have met the quota for the cloud offering. This will encourage them to retire the cloud quota as quickly as possible. If you have two versions of the same solution, on-premise and cloud, you can pay the salesperson the same commission in absolute terms, regardless of which version they sell. This removes the inclination to push the on-premise version for the sake of the commission and encourages them to do what is in the best interest of your client. And finally, we are starting to see some companies remove commissions tied to specific transactions. Performance is KPI-based, and bonuses paid on quarterly basis for meeting the KPIs, which can include customer satisfaction, renewal rates, and so on. This is not the industry standard by any means, but I have been surprised at how often it is being implemented. It can be effective where the same salesperson is responsible for sales and account management. This brings us to another decision you will need to make. As your client base grows, should you consider splitting the sales roles? In pure SaaS companies, it is fairly standard to have hunters and farmers. The hunters are responsible for getting the deals done. They then pass the client over to the farmer, who is responsible for getting renewals as well as upselling into the account, for example, by getting more users, increasing usage, or selling additional functionality or modules. Farmers are often called customer success managers, and they can be a critical part of reducing the churn rate. Churn is a percentage of your clients that don't renew their subscriptions for whatever reasons. There are a number of ways to calculate churn against monthly recurring revenues, bookings, or customer counts. But it is essentially the inverse of your renewal rate. If 95% of your clients renew, then you have a 5% churn rate. Getting a 95% renewal rate might sound pretty good, but the long-term revenue impact of losing 5% of your clients is actually quite significant. Now, don't worry about the exact numbers here, but this chart shows the impact of a 2.5% and a 5% churn rate over 5 years, as measured against bookings. And as you can see, it really hurts. The top three reasons that companies don't renew are: users don't feel that the solution provides a lot of value. 2, they are upset with the support that they get from the vendor. And 3, they didn't take the time to really start using the product. All of these can be addressed by an account manager. The hunter is more concerned with getting a deal done and then moving on to the next opportunity. One final thought on sales, even though it is more marketing related. For the most part, salespeople do not generate leads. They follow up on the leads that they get. If you are going to have dedicated salespeople, having an effective marketing program becomes even more of an imperative. Now, on to the last segment. We have talked about how your product development might have to change as you move to the cloud with your own IP. We have touched on how marketing is changing, and we have covered some of the key issues related to sales. Now we will turn to managing clients once they have signed up for your subscription, because this is another area that could require an investment. We just talked about having customer account managers, which is a human element of managing the relationships. So here I will focus on using automation to make the process more efficient. Even if the IP business is opportunistic, you have an obligation to provide some level of support to the customers you sell to directly. The simplest level of support is an online repository of frequently asked questions. It can be a single file, or if you've written or accumulated a larger number of issues, they can be grouped by subject. A step up from this is a knowledge base. A knowledge base would likely include the FAQs, but also includes documents from other sources, such as your staff, your clients, partners, or third parties. Documents would be indexed and searchable and could be classified as public or private, requiring login or authentication to be accessed. There are a lot of good knowledge base solutions available at reasonable prices. The bigger investment is the initial setup. Another low-cost but more personalized support option is live chat function. It doesn't require dedicated resources. At low sales volumes, any of your existing professional services team could respond to a query. As your volume grows, or as you lay the foundation for supporting a large client base, establishing an online community can be an effective way to get additional, and usually free, support from other users and partners. There are more than 100 community platforms on the market, some of which are free. With a more complex solution, you will normally have to provide live telephone support. This can be structured as basic or pro, with a separate subscription for premium support, such as 24/7 or guaranteed response times. One way to reduce support requirements after a sale is to build support elements into the product itself. This can be contextual help in the form of content or links to other support mechanisms, such as live chat. I cover this in more detail in the webinar on legal issues, but in a cloud-based IP business model, your relationship with your client and many of the business processes you establish will be driven by the service level agreement, the SLA. It spells out your contractual obligation, and the support infrastructure you build out should be designed to help you meet those obligations. And finally, with a larger volume of business, building analytics into the product will produce data that can help you in marketing as well as customer support. Collecting information on how the product is used, response times, trouble tickets, and more will give you valuable insight into user behavior, which will help you make adjustments to make your solution easier to use and support. I don't mean to sound flippant, but if you see IP as being an opportunistic part of your business, you won't have to make a lot of investments or change the way you're doing business today. Nonetheless, you still have an obligation to your clients that could include product updates and ongoing support. To the extent either of these will be limited, you have to make it clear in your client agreements so that there's a clear understanding of what you're committing to do. If you decide to make this a strategic direction for your company, if you see repeatable IP as being a great way to leverage the skills in your organization and build a recurring revenue stream that makes you more profitable and valuable as a company, it will involve fairly significant investments. You will need to take on many of the characteristics of a product company. Many services companies have done this successfully. You have a better foundation for success than the proverbial two guys and a dog in their garage, and if it is done properly, the return on making this investment will be very rewarding. This slide is available as a download. It is intended to give you a simple framework for thinking through some of the key issues involved in getting started. Thank you for taking the time to view this webinar. As mentioned during the introduction, it is part of a series of webinars that Microsoft has put together to help you be successful with your cloud solution. So I would encourage you to view other webinars that cover topics that are relevant to you. You should also feel free to contact me if there are any questions or issues that I can help you with.